Amen.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. All right, nursery time. Those who want to go to the nursery, follow Miss Angie. Everybody say we're praying for you, Angie. Please start going. All right. Follow to the nursery. There she goes. I'd give a dollar for that hat.
She said those kids are wild. Talking like a pro.
Absolutely. Well, I had a very emotional week in a lot of different ways. And then I had an opportunity that I've never had also to take a moment to share that with you. Last Sunday morning, I asked you to pray for Carol Sires, Rick Sires' wife. Rick and I go back about almost 30 years, and Carol and Monica, we've known each other for a long time. Carol passed away of cancer Sunday night. And I had her funeral this past week. And it was an emotional time. But I preached a funeral in the biggest church I've ever spoken in my life. The church holds 5,000 people. It's Northside Christian Church in New Albany. It's a little bit of a sister to Southeast. Now, there was about 200 people at this funeral, so it looked like a small crowd in this huge auditorium. But the pastor there, by the name of Brother George Ross, he called me to say to me that wanted to welcome me to his church. And I first off said to him, I said, listen, I'm coming to your home court. You just tell me what you need from me, what I need to do to help you in any way, shape, or form. He said, no, let's just reverse that. He said, yes, you're coming to our church, but what can I do for you? How can I make this better for you? Tell me what you need. Now, this is a pastor that's got 20,000 congregations and was the nicest man to me that I've seen in a very long time. Very gracious to me. Just turned his church completely over to me, which is pretty dangerous to a little kid. Now, we got through the service, and this is the first time, again, this ever happened to me. Obviously, it's the final viewing coming by to see Carol. This is a very emotional time. Those of you who have lost loved ones, you know what that's like. Well, on three separate occasions, not together at all, three women all said to me that I've never met in my life, when I die, I want you to do my funeral. One of them was 25 years old. I said, well, honey, I hope you live a long life. I believe this week you're going to be in heaven, hopefully, when you pass away. Now, the other two, they were in their 70s, just sweet little age. Serious as a button. He said, when I die, I want you to do my funeral. I said, well, I appreciate that, but I hope that you outlive me by a long time. But wasn't that sweet, huh? Give the Lord a hand of applause. I said, now, hang on just one second. I've been out of seminary for a long time. and I forgot a lot of things. But I promise you, Larry, there's 150 chapters in the book of Psalms. Now, I know that because I was tested on that several times back years ago. He said, well, I am looking at a computer software program that says there's 149. I said, well, go, computer genius, and get your Bible off the counter and open it up and tell me how many chapters is in the book of Psalms. Now, he called me a smart one. Larry, how many chapters in the book of Psalms?
149.
You know, he didn't believe me. I was going to have him call you, Jim Crow, and let you tell him about it. All right, here we go. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary, in His church. Praise Him in the mighty heavens, outside of wherever you're at. Praise Him for His acts of power, how He has blessed you, if you will. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Every time you look at the ocean, look at a mountain, look at a baby, you understand how powerful God is. I don't know what that word means, but praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Oh, that's right. You had to type this, didn't you, Larry?
Yeah. Which word is it? You don't know what it is. Oh, I see it.
I'll teach you to mix with the preacher, I can tell you that right now. All right, let's get off that screen. We don't want the whole world to see that, Larry, so let's go to the next screen. Thank you. Now, look at this. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him. Look at this, Michael. With what?
Strings.
There you go. I like a string instrument. I do. And the flute. Man, what a band we're going to have in heaven. Can you imagine? What this band's going to be like? Praise Him with the clash of the cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has what?
Breath.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This 150th chapter, not 149, but 150, 1 through 6, tells me one thing, that no matter what I'm doing, where I'm at, what's going on in my life, good, bad, or in between, I am to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Do you see that? Do you understand that? It's right on the page, right on the scripture. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Brother Larry. Psalms 113, 1 through 3. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Good old gospel song that I love out of him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For how long? From this time forth, forevermore. Now, people have asked me before, from this time forth, from the moment you understand what God is, from the moment you have a relationship with God, from the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're part of the family of God, from that moment, look at this, from this time, and this time is personal with every one of you. You understand that? This is personal. From the moment you give your life to the Lord, and forevermore, you are to be a blessing to God because He's the blessing to you.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, let me finish this up and I will make it. From here, I love this too. From the rising of the sun. Now, some of you may not know what that is. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name be praised. From the moment you get up to the moment you lay to rest. Praise the name of Jesus. That makes sense to you?
Amen.
Absolutely. I don't care what time of day. I don't care if you're awake at 3 o'clock in the morning. Praise the Lord. If you're awake at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, praise the Lord. If it's bright sunlight, praise the Lord. If it's dark, praise the Lord. If it's raining, praise the Lord. If it's snowing,
praise
the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. That's right. If you got money, praise the Lord. If you're broke, you better then praise the Lord. Let me tell you that. Because the only way you're going to get money is to praise the Lord. You understand that? Alright? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed. How in the world can I be a blessing to God? God doesn't need me. Really? But He loves me and wants me, but doesn't need me. Boy, do I need Him. And am I thankful that He loves me enough to invite me into the club? If you will. Okay? And here's the deal about most clubs, whether they're social, golf, whatever the club may be. You know, it could be some golfing thing. You know, their dues have to be paid to be a part of the club. You understand that? Alright? You got to pay the dues. Alright? Well, here's the deal about being with this wonderful society called Christianity. Jesus paid the dues.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. This clubhouse is going to be second to none to any clubhouse any of us have ever been in.
Amen.
This is when we're talking about streets of gold. We're talking about where God Almighty lives and where His Son rests. And where everybody who knows Jesus one day is going to be. Now, under that circumstances, it ought to be easy for me to praise the Lord. Even if it's not a good day or a good week or a good month or whatever it could be. You know, your happiness and your being a blessing to God cannot depend upon your circumstance. Now, I have preached this in a lot of different ways, a lot of different forms. Because believe me, when we're in the right circumstance, the last thing we want to do is praise God. If we're hurting, if we're angry, if we're scared, anxious, fighting, you got kids, you got a spouse, you got parents, you got a job, you got a boss, you got in-laws, you're going to have anxiety. Everybody understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
That sounds like a normal type of life to me. When are you not going to have anxiety? So we have to learn to deal with anxiety, and how we learn to do that is to praise the name of Jesus. When I'm at my most anxious, I just need to stop and say, you know, Jesus, there must be a reason for this, whatever it is. I'm going to praise your name. I don't know why, but there's a reason. Everything in life happens for one thing, and that is to teach us. It really comes down to that simple. It is to teach us. But it's a matter sometimes how we think we're in class a long time. Huh? But it really is to teach us. To teach us to what? One thing. I'm going to make this real simple. The more we understand that we have to lean upon God, the more you'll understand what God is all about. Because I would rather lean upon God and have a worse life and think I don't need God at all and take that last breath than I want to wish in the world I knew God in a personal way. When He says, depart from me, I never knew you. How horrible could that be? I understand that. But if I'd give my heart to the Lord and said, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forevermore. All right, Brother Wayne, let's finish up. Hebrews 13:5. Now, here comes some real good advice, folks. Listen to it. Let your, here we go. Don't worry about everybody else's conversation. Let your conversation. Let your mouth, let your language be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, this is a big word. Let me tell you something. It destroys people. really what that means is I concentrate more on other people's lives than I concentrate on mine. And when I get to God, there's only going to be one person I'm going to answer for. I'm not going to answer for nobody else because I got enough to answer for me. If you ever learn in life to concentrate on you and leave everybody else alone, you'll be surprised how this thing works. Now, let me tell you something else. If you, I don't know if you've heard it put this way, but this is sort of what this means, too, when you look at all of this, to be content. Don't sweat the small things. You'd be surprised what people get upset over. And then when something else comes along that really is earth-shattering, they don't seem to bother. I mean, I knew a woman one time had come to me and was so upset that I mean, literally she cried for days because she lost one sock. And the other one was there by itself. Now, I'm being serious now. I know that sounds like, who am I to blame? Believe me, it happens. Next thing I knew, she was in a car wreck, did $10,000 worth of damage to a new car she was driven. She walked out of the life. She said, I've been that big deal. Same woman. It's been a long time ago, but I'll never forget this. Lost a sock. And almost lost her mind. And a car wreck did $10,000 worth of damage and wasn't a big deal. Folks, we have to understand, if we don't have some balance in our lives, Satan loves us to get us way out of whack, baby. Let me tell you that right now. I mean, when the lows are the lows and the highs are nowhere to be found. And I mean, he plays with your heart, plays with your emotions, plays with your mind, plays with your thinking. You understand that? You ever been out of balance before? Everybody here is out of balance. And the only way to get you in balance and understand it is to be content with such things as you have. In other words, learn to be content with where you're at. Quit worrying about what somebody else drives, what someone else lives in, what someone else does. Just be thankful that you're alive and be thankful that you're under the grace of God. And you'll be surprised how all this other stuff will just slowly but surely leave you, and you get balanced in life because Jesus has balanced you. And look what it says. I will never leave you. Do you understand what that means? I don't care where you're at or what you're doing or what your situation is. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to dump you. He's never going to say, oh, well, because he or she's done that, they're not part of me no more. No. I use this illustration, I've used it I don't know how many times, but it's simple for me, so I'll try to make it simple for you. When I accepted Jesus Christ, he took a hold of me, I took a hold of him. There have been some times in my life where I tried to let go. He never let go of me.
Amen.
Do you understand that? That's what this means. To understand, no matter when I have sinned, when I've done the wrong thing, been at the wrong place, been in the wrong situation, he still never lets go of me. Now, because he never lets go of me, that also means he can punish me if I need it, whip me if I need it, put me in situations I may not like. That's because it's like being a parent. I'm a child of his. Sometimes when a child does something wrong, you have to get that child's attention. Right? Sometimes he's got to get our attention. And there's no greater way to get your attention than to put you in a little pain. Okay?
Amen.
Now, when I grew up, that's how they got your attention. They put you in pain. Today, they put you in jail if you do that. But in my day, and in some of y'all's days, that's how they got your attention. Because my father said, you ain't going to remember nothing unless it hurts. But if it hurts, seem like you don't forget it, do you, Jim Crow, if it hurts? Let me tell you something. Sometimes, folks, in life, it hurts. But all that means is I need to lean more on Jesus. Because he's the one that's going to get me through it, get me over it, get me around it, get me to where I need to be. And it's called being content. What's that saying? And to hear this, to live your life knowing that I will never leave thee and I will never, ever forsake thee. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Jesus, Jesus. May we never forget how to praise you in all of life's circumstances. May we always know that you're in control. When things seem to be out of control, Father, you give us control in our lives. Father, may we always praise you. But not only in church, but in the way we live, how we live, what we do. Father, for me, one here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, or someone watching by internet today that does not know you, it is simply this. You need to know that you are a sinner, number one. Number two, you need to understand that Jesus died for you and he became sin for you. 3 days later, he arose from the grave to give power to what he says he can do. He's at the right hand of God waiting to come to get us. But if you believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and ask him to forgive you, he will do that and you will have a whole eternity. Now, it's that simple, but you also need to understand that it begins a life change for you. And when it's a life change for you, you begin to put God first. My prayer is you're putting God first. If you're not, we have a quiet time at this altar. If you just come and say, Lord, thank you. I just want to praise you. You'll be surprised how you can really, truly reach the heart of God by simply saying thank you. Father, again, your word has gone forth. We thank you for your blessing. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus? Thank you.